I have a super exciting news for you. My new book, Chasing Desires, is on pre-order on Amazon. And when you pre-order this book, I'm sending you some really amazing gifts worth over $500. This is not a self-help book. I'm not teaching you what you should do to make your life a certain way. This is a story of my emotions, ugly and beautiful both. This is a tale of how I fell madly in love with myself after hating me long enough for no fault of mine. So don't miss out, especially if you are a woman. Hi, and welcome to the Corporate Life Podcast. My name is Hina Siddiqui, and I loved and hated my corporate jobs for years. This podcast is going to empower you to go high on your career without losing yourself. I invite you to join me each week as you will hear real cool stories of the real cool corporate people doing real things in the corporate world. And their experiences and advice can change your story too. Hi, this is Hina Siddiqui, and you are listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. While we hate admitting it, men are struggling in today's evolving social constructs. Most of the men have built an expectation in their mind as to what a man is and how he shows up every day. And in this man they have created, they have never succeeded in achieving these traits themselves. Real life is just like that. It's real. We are not in a controlled environment, and as life evolves, we have to evolve with it. I'm honored to have a remarkable guest today, a man with a very unique mission to help men understand the foundation of their masculinity, all in an effort to analyze and reconstruct it in a way that the evolution is true to them. He believes that you can only be the man you want to be when you finally choose to do the work. As someone who has fought his own demons and seen the struggles of men who lost everything, Johnny L. Sasser is determined to arm you with the tools to position yourself in a form of masculinity that takes you out of your struggles, your fears, your bad habits, your depression, and your loneliness. Your strength will become your healthy masculinity, and you will thrive in the depths of your own mind and in the relationships you cultivate. Let's dive into this engaging conversation and uncover the art of masculinity with Johnny L. Sasser. Hi, Johnny. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Hina. I am honored to be here. Thank you for having me on the show and looking forward to chatting with you today.
I too am looking forward to chat with you today, because when I was listening to your podcast, it's, you know, a very unique idea about masculinity and the art of masculinity. And there are a lot of men out there, like half of the population, a little over half of the population in the world is men. It's going to be like, you know, they can relate with us, because a lot of things are being said and written about women. And here, like, I think men, there's a space for men too. So you are doing a great job. So let's talk about it.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. It's really funny because, like, I've got, you know, I've been doing this a while and I've been coaching men. I've done a lot of my education. So I have two master's degrees and a bachelor's degree. I say that because it taught me how to research really well. So when I got into the men's space, I wanted to be able to speak to this eloquently, and I wanted to be able to speak to it intelligently. And so I did a lot of research on the sociological aspects, the psychological aspects, kind of where we've come from, how society has evolved, and where we are today. And one of the things when we talk about masculinity, we got to go back to, like, even the start of, like, the men's movement back in the 80s and 90s and why it even failed.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal to me, is like, we got to start there because, you know, yes, you're correct. A lot of people are, like, speaking to women in the self-development space, and the self-development application, like, the tools, they apply to men. But the thing is, men aren't, like, typically men have to value somebody's background to want to give them the time of day to listen to them and take in their information. It's just one of the things that we are predisposed to doing as men. I find this very common, and that's okay if we know about it, right? But the problem is most of the people that are talking about the self-development space aren't connecting to men in the personal background of who they are, how they've grown up, and everything else.
Yeah.
And this is kind of where the men's movement back in the 80s and 90s failed. Mm-hmm. And this is why it wasn't even close to being successful, because it left 97% of men behind, because the everyday guy couldn't resonate. He couldn't understand. He had no reference point for what these people were talking about. And so they couldn't make a correlation to them. So they lost all those guys, and they never actually fulfilled the dream that they wanted to, which was to help men improve. But now we're in a space where we have some men with backgrounds like myself and some of the other men that are in the space with me that are leaders, that we're doing everything we can to show guys, like, listen, we were in your shoes. Like, we were in your shoes. We came from those backgrounds. We came from the blue collar backgrounds. I am not exempt from being raised in a tough environment and having all of those same, you know, aspects that many men grow up with. I'm not exempt from that. And so I want guys to know that I can relate to that, but then also share with them that there's ways to improve yourself by utilizing that, understanding it, acknowledging it, processing it, and then moving on from it. So really, that's where we're at. Yeah.
Perfect. I love that. Johnny, you say that your mission is to help men understand the foundation of their masculinity. So let's start with that. What do you mean by that? What is that foundation of masculinity?
Yeah. So are you familiar, Hina, with Dr. Bruce Lipton by chance?
Yes. So I've heard of him.
Yeah, Dr. Bruce Lipton is absolutely amazing. And his work, he's kind of like the, I like to call him the godfather of epigenetics, but really Jean-Baptiste Lamarck is the godfather of epigenetics. And then, like, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton kind of created the infrastructure around it to make it make sense today, right? Through a lot of his research. So what I bring that up because when we talk about the foundations of masculinity, we got to talk about our earlier years in life. And when we talk about that, we talk about mainly the window between 2 and 8 years old. Between 2 and 8 years old, we're in what's called theta brainwave. And this is where hypnosis works. We're so malleable and we're just sponges. Mm-hmm. We can be manipulated in a lot of ways. Our brains can be manipulated in a lot of ways and they absorb information. Well, what happens in those years is none of it is really consciously stored in our brains. It's subconsciously stored and it's all just programmable because we're just absorbing that information. So we're not consciously aware of like throwing something out that doesn't make sense and keeping something that we really like, right? Like we don't have that ability. So a lot of our foundations as human beings, but with men, I focus this on masculinity, is that like our foundations are written in those early years and we behave and say things and perform and believe things for a lot of different reasons that we don't quite understand. And so when we have this foundation kind of handed to us by people who have their own flawed foundations or have their own generational limitations and expectations put into our development, we're now carrying on past things that don't necessarily, one, align with us, and two, that don't necessarily fit into society today as we've evolved as a society. So there's this conversation we have to start having, which is, how do we even understand what we believe in as a man if we haven't gone back and looked at what was given to us by the people in our lives earlier on? So I run a process for guys. I run them through a process where we actually go back in time and take a look at some of the people who've influenced them, because it's not always our parents. And that's one of the things that we have to also understand. You know, Bandura's social learning theory tells us that when we create a value for somebody else in our lives, we will actually look to them to influence us in our behaviors. So it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who is our direct parents. It can be somebody that's ancillary to that, but has an important role in our lives, and we've given them a value system. So when we absorb that information now, and when we look to those people, we have to go back and say, well, what were the things that they had? What do I see in them as a man? What do I see as them that they have that potentially were like things I don't like? Because all of those things were passed to you. So we have to take that and categorize it. And then we have to understand, okay, a lot of these beliefs and a lot of these limitations and everything are what are in us right now. And we have to say, what don't we like and what do we like? So we have to understand that foundation. And if we don't understand it, we can't know where we want to go because we don't know what we need to actually change. When I talk about that foundation, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. And there is a, like, apart from the parents, apart from the ancestors, and apart from the entire, you know, society around us, that the generation just passed on these kind of beliefs to us. Apart from that, there is a common psyche, you know, that the collective psyche that we all access. So this is also somewhere we have taken our beliefs from. We have taken our behaviors and patterns from. So now the question is that, as you say that, we need to pause and think, like, where is it all coming from? Today, there's a lot of pressure, right, in the corporate world, as this show is about corporate professionals. People are so much burdened with their job duties and, you know, lots of expectations around making money and funding a different kind of lifestyle, you know, which is just evolving day by day. How is it possible for men today to pause and think about it when they are so lost and they have no time and space to think about all that?
Well, you know, that is a great question. And part of it is I challenge people when they say that, because the first thing is when people tell me I have no time, I say, no, you have no priorities.
Yes.
You know, that's the first thing. We have to take a look at your priorities first, because there's things that you're carving out time for that provide zero value to you. They provide zero value to your life and your improvement in the ecosystem around you. And then the other thing is, you know, it's more important for us to show up as good men in this world today than it is for me to go to a job and perform as a cog in the wheel for a corporation. Mm-hmm. You spend 100% of your life as the person that you are. You only spend a fraction of your life in that job. So you have to think about what's more important. If I'm going to work my butt off to be awesome at this profession that I'm in, why am I not working my butt off to be a great man in this world who's influencing the next generation and treating women with respect and treating and showing society what it is to be a healthy masculine male in this world today? What does that mean? Like, why am I not doing that? So we have to prioritize the value in ourselves. And what I say to guys that are getting pushed around by the corporations and getting pushed around by this rat race kind of mentality is that you have no confidence. And I challenge men, because they don't. And the reason they don't have confidence is because they don't know who they are. And it goes back to the foundations. You never looked at your foundations. You never reassessed your priorities of your foundations. You never found your authenticity. And then you never curated a life around who you are. You curated a life around what was expected of you. And that right there is riddled with flaws, and it's riddled with a house of cards. So that's why when things get really hard, it's easily pushed over. That's why these men, they crumble. They're easily shaken. They go to vices like alcohol and drugs and like adultery and things like that. They go to a lot of these vices that cause toxicity in their life because they can't handle it individually, because they never found out who they were. And then they didn't have a place to stand in their own body. They allowed the world to decide what was there for them, who they were supposed to be, instead of doing it the other way around, saying, this is who I am, and the world is going to be part of that.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
For long years, I believed that being money-minded was a bad thing, so I kept on avoiding money. In every job interview, I hesitated to negotiate salary and turned down every opportunity to make money. Even my coaching business functioned as a free service for a long time, because the reason I got into coaching was to serve people. Then I started realizing the side effects of my wrong money mindset. Thanks to my coaches and mentors who set me up for money inflow while serving the world. Whatever career you are into, if your money mindset is distorted, you are going to struggle in your career. And the amazing fact is that you would not even realize that you are sabotaging your full potential, because all this happens at the sub and unconscious level. Your money stories are deep-rooted, particularly if you have seen a money-deprived childhood. The solution is to identify your patterns and let them go as fast as you can, because it's costing you your career. That's why the money mindset is a big part of all my coaching programs. Send me a quick mail to connect@authorhina.com to know more about my programs. There's a lot of things expected out of men. And as a man, they have certain responsibilities to take care of. And, you know, though we have come a long way. However, when we look in the past, and there was a division between a man used to be a hunter and the women, they used to be the homemakers. So now, it's the gap is being faded, right? And men are doing the things that women do, and women are doing the things that men used to do. Like, with that gap being faded, now how relevant it is, because when we are still carrying that burden of being a masculine in a very traditional sense, where the world is so much evolving, What do you have to say about that? Like, what are some of the different kind of expectations in current scenario where the world has evolved so much?
Yeah, this is another beautiful question, because it has to take us, you have to go back to the ancestral times, right? So when we go back to our ancestors and we look at what was going on when masculinity was defined globally, right? Because we don't have a global definition of masculinity. I challenge anybody to go look cross-culturally. I've done this. I've read a lot of research on it. Nobody can find an answer. If you look cross-culturally around the world right now, the common theme of masculinity, there is none. So every culture has different expectations of what they say men are supposed to do in their society. And we are really, like, that is what defines masculinity, is what the value is of being a man to that social construct is. So when we look at ancestrally, the one reason why this became a common theme was because of the fact that we had one common theme globally for every tribe. And what was that? It was survival. We had everybody, every single tribe had the same exact scenario. Now, the environment was a little different, but the goal was exactly the same. It was just purely survival. How can we survive as a tribe? So what does that breed? That breeds a commonality amongst the expectations of men's roles within every single tribe. So we had principles of being masculine, like courage, like protection, like provider, like leadership. Okay. Like, these are like four core ancestral pieces to being a man. The women look to the men to do this. The children look to the men to do this. And the men were expected to perform those duties. Well, in comes society. In comes these constructs of bricks and roads and infrastructure of laws. And all of that changed the game. It took away the provider role, because guess what? As long as you can make some money, anybody can go down to the store and buy food. Yeah. So the provider didn't necessarily have to be big, strong, fast, acute in hunt, being a hunter and anything like that. They didn't have to do that anymore. Now that kind of got removed. Then the second piece was, okay, well, a protector. Well, guess what? We created law enforcement. We created laws. And for the most part, most of the quote unquote civilized world operates from that. And it took away that ancestral need to be a protector, which means that men were able to evolve in different ways that didn't necessarily have to prioritize that. Then you talk about courage, right? Well, again, the laws take away the need for courage, because courage is literally all it is standing up in the face of fear. Without fear, you don't have courage. Courage doesn't exist. Courage takes fear to actually be applied. Well, there is not as much fear anymore. Now, we fabricated fear, and the media does fear mongering. Sure, we fabricate fear, but in reality, we don't have the fear our ancestors had, right? To survive. So courage kind of got eroded as well. And leadership, the last one to it, that one is the only one I have found that still semi hangs around, but that's more or less because society was predicated off of patriarchy, where men were put in leadership positions always in corporations and business and everything, right? So men were the only ones allowed to be there for quite a long time. So that one still kind of resonates within society, but it doesn't make you a man, because there are a ton of women now being put in very high leadership roles. So that line is getting very blurred. So to your question, when we look at the evolution of society, we say, well, wow, okay, all these ancestral things doesn't mean we don't have to believe in them. Doesn't mean it doesn't make you a strong man, but is that the only protocol to be a good man in the world today, or be a strong man in the world today? I don't think so. I think that masculinity, what happened when civilization came in, is masculinity actually expanded. We just didn't account for it. There were certain other traits that came into play. And I haven't taken the time to codify this, which is one of the goals that I have on my books to do this. I want to codify like a range of masculine traits, expectations of men within society, and then say, hey, those traits got expanded as society grew and evolved. And in those traits, every man can find like three or four of them that they really resonate with. And if they are authentic with those and embody those, they are still a good, valid, strong man in the world today. It just may look a little different from every other man around them, and vice versa. Every other man around them is going to look a little different too. So with the evolution of society, that's where I look at, we have to know, again, where we came from to know where we're going. And I think that there was an expansion of masculinity. And if you look at the definition of masculinity, it's very ambiguous. But if you actually look at it, it allows for that expansion of masculinity to take place and for those expansion and traits to be valid in what it means to be a strong, good man today in this evolved society.
I think, and I believe, Johnny, that nature has made women and men different. There are mm-hmm. certain masculine qualities that make a man, right? Masculine.
Absolutely.
And women are women. So now, because we are being so much educated, we are just, you know, developing those kind of qualities. Like women are developing those kind of masculine qualities within themselves. Because we all have a yin and yang energies within us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So now the thing is that when the qualities like domination, like leadership, like courage, like control, these are all male qualities, right? They are making man a man, which by nature, right? This is like whatever we call it as. Now the thing is that when we are having those kind of natural things, like nature has created us this way, don't you think that it's okay to let things be natural and rather than fabricated? What do you think about that?
I agree, because we're going to float back to our natural tendencies. For instance, like while we all have that balance of energy within us, men have the feminine energy and the women have the masculine energy. In everybody's system, we're going to default back to what is natural to us. So women are going to want and embrace being in their feminine, and men likewise are going to desire and embrace being in their masculine, especially when things get hard, especially when things get chaotic. Mm-hmm. We want to go back to where we actually are comfortable in ourselves. And that's where we come and float back to that predominant natural state of masculine or feminine. Mm-hmm. But then we have the ability to float through the balance of that and include those energies within our lives so that we can also have balance, because anybody that's on one end of the spectrum and too far on one end and doesn't have the balance of that feminine or masculine, they're going to have their own negativity within their lives, and they're going to have their own kind of misconnections with the rest of their lives and with every other part of their lives. And they're not going to be able to be that whole person because there's zero balance. Everything, like you said, the yin and yang. The Japanese created this because of the fact that it was such a beautiful thing that showed the balance within the world, right? And within the energies. And that is what we as people have. So we have to acknowledge that. And the other thing is, I would say, yes, there's certain natural, I think there's natural biological characteristics that men were given, but the roles were decided by the social constructs. So the tribes were, I mean, again, inherently men are bigger and stronger. This is just natural by biology. Yeah. And in that same case, when we look at it, we naturally were going to be held up by the women to say, yeah, go fight the saber-toothed tiger. You're bigger and stronger. I don't want to do this. Like, you go do that. And so naturally, that is how we kind of evolve. And so we were given those roles. But those were created through societal, those social constructs. I'm a big supporter of looking to the animal kingdom, because the animal kingdom is all based upon everything that is natural within those particular animals. And within that, everything becomes instinctual. And when you even look at big cats, for instance, lions, who are the hunters, though? Mm-hmm. It's the women. The women are the hunters, not the men. Now, the men, they're the protectors of the pride. So if something comes to harm the pride, or if another lion comes to take the pride, that the male lion protects it. But the predominant hunters in the pride are the females. And then the male gets the first bite of the kill, because he is there to protect, right? Because he's bigger, he's stronger, but yet he doesn't go and hunt. So when we talk about that, there are examples within the animal kingdom where even the male wasn't elected to go be the hunter. He was strictly the protector. And we evolved from all of this. So we have to take that into consideration of how we evolved, and the fact that, yes, we were looked to protectors, because when something that is equally matched to us shows up, we need the biggest, strongest one to go over to that. Whereas like, when you look at the hunters, as far as women or the female hunters in like the lion pride, they're going after animals that aren't as equally matched to them, right? And then they're hunting in a pack. So it's like you take this into consideration when we think about, okay, how we created these constructs of masculinity within society, but we have to look at it in the social aspect as well as the biological. And yes, I believe you're 100% correct. There's natural biological abilities that we were handed, but then there's also the social expectations on top of that, which actually form what we define as masculinity today.
Great. And now my next question to you is that if a man can take care of their masculinity, right? They can develop that masculinity in themselves. Is it going to help the relationship? Because the relationships are actually suffering these days. Like, you know, a lot of relationships on the verge of lots of breakups and lots of divorces. And is it because the man and women, they are not harmonizing, right? They are not having those balanced qualities, which are natural. So is it like if a man is able to develop that masculinity in himself, so is it going to save the relationships or protect the relationship? What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, this is another beautiful, I love your questions. These are great. This one is another beautiful question because that is something we have to look at, right? Like, so how is the masculinity lending itself to strengthen relationships and strengthen the next generation of, you know, boys and girls that are coming up in this world? And yes, I firmly believe healthy men who are sovereign in their masculinity and embody that strong man are going to influence better relationships. The reason being is because when you're confident in who you are, you stop doing things because of expectation. You do things because they're right. And you have a code of saying, hey, this is the way that standing in my confidence shows up. And if you, for instance, question me about something, I don't feel challenged. I'm very confident in who I am. So I can have a civil conversation. I don't need to posture defensively anymore, right? And so a lot of relationships are having issues because men, one, don't know who they are. They haven't done this evaluation on themselves. Two, they're being very confused by the media. They're being very confused by the fact that they don't understand why they don't want to do the same things that like the quote unquote older generations did as men. They don't know why that doesn't really fit with them. And so that also lends to the confusion. And then the other part to that is they don't have communication skills because they're so scared. Like if you look at dating, for instance, like men will do anything a woman says in dating because they just want to get laid. They're just like, a girl likes me. I want to get laid. I'll do whatever. Right. So then they do this and they fake the funk. And then what happens is they get in that relationship and then they realize once they're comfortable in that relationship, they stop showing up as a man that's doing all the things she liked. And she's wondering where this guy she started dating went. And then he's like, oh yeah, well, you know, that was just kind of me doing what I could to get laid. And you're like, well, then there's no sovereignty in you. You never were a man of confidence. You never were a man who knew who he was. And so you bent to what got you, you bent and manipulated to what got you what you desired instead of standing in your authenticity and confidence and getting what you desired with the right person who desired that person in you. And so when men start standing up and being sovereign in their masculine, they're authentic in that masculine, it's going to cultivate better relationships, better communication. And the next generation is going to look at that and say, oh, that's what a healthy man is. He admits when he's wrong. He takes ownership when he's incorrect. He also takes ownership when he accomplishes things. He also embraces empathy. He also embraces the communication so that people can have a win-win. Relationships can have a win-win instead of a win-lose. He looks at competition as being something to improve himself, not something to oppress other people. There's all these different ways. When you are healthy in that masculine, you look at these quote-unquote things that people believe are only masculine or reside in the masculine. You have a way to change those to be a positive effect. But just like anything, you can make any trait negative. And so in that tone, if you don't have any sovereignty within yourself, you're going to be manipulated by others to believe that you're supposed to portray those things in a certain way, which potentially can be extremely negative. Like competition has a fine line. It can be very negative when you start oppressing people and you start pushing people down and start treating people like crap. But on the same token, if you leverage competition very well, it'll actually improve you to be the best version of yourself. And then you'll also bring other people up because through your actions, they're going to see you and they're going to see that as a positive thing to start raising their bar. Instead of you saying I'm better than you, they're going to be like, oh, let me come with you. And you're like, yeah, come with me. Like, let's do this together. Right. So there's positive ways to look at that. And that's where I see if we can become more sovereign as men, if we can become more confident as men, if we can embody and find those things that we hold true to ourselves, we will be better versions for the next generation. And we'll be better versions for our current spouses and partners in our lives so that they actually see what it's like to be a healthy man in this world today too.
Right. And the world will be a better place to live. The world will be more balanced and the relationships will prosper and flourish. And yes, we have better things to pass on to our future generations.
I don't want people to take this the wrong way, but when men are standing up in their strength and power, and they're there in that, you know, inherent ancestral protector role, the insidious actors in this world think twice about doing things. Mm-hmm. Right now, the world has become so fractured and men have become so disoriented in themselves that the insidious actors are able to do exactly what they want to do whenever they want to do. And it's not to say that women aren't powerful, but it is to say that the natural ancestral role that we were given of being protectors is no longer apparent. So people feel like there's no repercussions, right? Mm-hmm. And so when men can stand up collectively as a strong, unified group, people think twice about trying to misbehave or treat populations like crap. They think twice about doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's where we need to get back to. But until we do that, you're going to continue to have some of this abuse that we see around the world today.
Yes, that's a beautiful point. I love that, Johnny. Now, vulnerability, which is something like a man is not supposed to be vulnerable, and which is so important, yeah. Right? Everybody has to show that vulnerability, has to develop that vulnerability, because otherwise we will never be able to be ourselves, our own authentic self. So yeah. How vulnerability and high performance are connected, and how the art of masculinity bridges the gap between the two.
Oh, this is beautiful. This is really cool because they are connected. So high performance is you having that confidence in yourself to not be concerned about failure, to not be concerned about trying something new, to not be concerned about the, you know, having plasticity and being flexible and adaptable. That is only comes from having confidence in yourself. And having confidence in yourself is understanding and knowing yourself, which we can't know until we understand ourselves emotionally. And I hate that everybody's like, oh, guys can cry. It's like, yes, that's one thing. That's one thing. You know, there's 27 emotions associated with human beings, and yeah. Everybody's just talking about crying. It's like, no, men need to learn all 27 of them, and men need to understand those for themselves, just like women do. But men need to be more open to having that vulnerability, to embarking on that journey with emotions. Because when we understand that, it creates two things. One, it allows us to emotionally understand our counterparts in our lives and our children. And then on the other thing, it allows us to really be able to explain and acknowledge what we're going through in life. When we can do that, then we don't get as frustrated. A lot of the anger and frustration comes from, just like children can't talk. So what do? They cry, right? Babies cry. That's how they get what they need. Essentially, when men react in very like anger or frustrated ways, it's because we don't know how to convey what we actually need, because we haven't done any exploration on our own emotions. Yeah. So it's like, hey, let's open this gap of the 27 emotions that people are annotating that we have. It used to be 6. Now they're saying it's like 27. And let's talk about all the vocabulary that is associated with that, which is like over 250 words. Let's start to actually create a database of what emotions are, so we can accurately describe them and acknowledge them. That's the first thing. And that will help us to understand ourselves. That helps us to be better partners. That helps us to be more empathetic. And that helps us to have, again, that balance like we're talking about, between that masculine and feminine, the emotions, and then that strength in the masculine. And then on top of that, as a high performer, think about how much more you can get done when you're not frustrated and harboring all of this, you know, deep-seated emotions and trauma that you could never explain or anything like that. When you get vulnerable, you're able to make that connection to then remove those from your life. And then from that point, you're able to open yourself to expand and grow in other ways. And in that, you can harness the power of it and just be absolutely phenomenal. If you look at, for instance, a lot of people, I don't know if they know this, but in hockey, the Washington Capitals back in, I think it was 2018, they won the Stanley Cup. And you know what they did that season? They brought in Tony Robbins to do mindset work with these guys in the locker room. And they were going through a lot of practices, not just visualization, not just this positive aspect of like, if I see it, I believe it. If I say it, it'll happen. Like, not just that, but they were going through the process of actually looking at themselves and then creating a more positive relationship with who they were. Mm-hmm. And look at the high performance that they got out of themselves. They won the Stanley Cup, the first time ever the Washington Capitals had ever done that. And so when we look at that, it's like, okay, as men, if we can link this vulnerability and this emotional connection to know ourselves better, how much more can we get out of ourselves as high performers? How much more can we actually enjoy life? Brendon Burchard talked about this in his book when he was talking about how when he started his journey, he got flown out to California from his home. I can't remember where he's at. He got flown out there in the middle of the night. It was like 1 a.m. or something like that, 2 a.m. for a client who was this, you know, super wealthy Silicon Valley, like billionaire. And the guy was so unhappy, he had to have Brendon come and see him. So Brendon goes and sees him, and it comes to realize this guy had no ability to understand who he was and become connected with that person and love that person. So even with all the wealth in the world, this guy couldn't love himself and his life sucked. Yeah. And so as a high performer, he couldn't even be a high performer effectively and enjoy life because he couldn't figure himself out. And that should go to show every man out there, whether you're an elite athlete, whether you're a business mogul, whether you're special operations like I was, when you're at the top of your game, you still have a lot of issues if you can't learn to love yourself, if you can't learn to be honest with yourself and dig into the shadows and confront them and move past them. You can't be at your optimal position if you are not willing to do that. And that is the bridge. And that to me is the art of masculinity. The art of masculinity is blending that masculine with the feminine and allowing them to provide that balance to be the most optimized version of yourself. Because you can't shut down the inner portions of your body. If you do, you're going to create a lot more toxicity inside of yourself physiologically. That's going to cause actual real problems like cancer and tumors and everything else, because the fact you're shoving that down and you're creating stress and anxiety that's going unaddressed, and you can't be a top performer and you can't enjoy being a top performer because someone's going to crush you if they actually have all those attributes and they can be at your same level of performance. That is the art of masculinity for men.
That's beautiful. And when you can be your own authentic self, then only there are chances that you are going to be a high performer. Otherwise, when 100%. We are shutting down, when we are thinking that, okay, it's not okay to show our weak side, it's not going to work like that, right? We just need to own our weaknesses and strengths both. This is so important to be vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's incredibly important in the sense of like our weaknesses are only weaknesses as long as we allow them to be. Yeah. And there's a lot of times in my life where I had a weakness per se, quote unquote, a weakness, and I turned it into a strength by focusing on it and training on it and going head on with it. And that is the same thing internally that we as men have the opportunity to do, is to go head on with the challenge of understanding our emotions and understanding our trauma and understanding our programming and understanding ourselves first. When we can do that, then inherently you're going to become confident and you're going to become authentic and you're going to be that high performer that you always wish to be.
I believe that too. You stand for masculinity and your podcast, The Art of Masculinity. What led you there? Like, what inspired you to do that? Because I believe that when we have suffered something in our life, then we start standing up for that and we make our mess our message. So what's that for you?
Yeah, I love that saying, we make our mess our message. And that is exactly kind of where I stood. So when I came back from overseas, I spent about a decade in and out of the Middle East between special operation combat tours and then protecting the U.S. ambassador to Iraq. And when I got back from overseas, I was working in a job behind the desk for the government. And I realized about 6 months into it that I was really unhappy and that I felt adrift and that I really lost myself and who I was. Being from this super elite level, I lost that guy. And I realized it was because I lost my purpose. And when I was in those roles, the purpose was the American flag. It was what that stood for through the test of time. It was what that represented for the people that were underneath that flag. And so I fought for that. And that became my purpose for a decade of my life. And then when I left that, I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, I'm not living that purpose anymore. And now I don't know how to make my own purpose. So when I lost myself, I ended up having that own downward spiral where I started drinking way too much. I started just living for the weekend. I wasn't paying attention to my own development or growth. I didn't really know about that. I didn't have the tools. And then I lost the man that I used to be. And in that, I also lost my first marriage. So my ex-wife and I, we ended up getting a divorce. And that was hard as well. That was another thing where I took that on as like a hit to my own ego and my own masculinity. Like, oh, wow, you weren't even strong enough to keep your marriage together, right? So like I was dealing with a lot of that. And what happened was I realized that I had the opportunity to really find my purpose and define who I wanted to be in this world and use a lot of those things that I gained in those previous days of honor and integrity and the moral compass I had and everything else, the strength that I gained from all of those tools. I had the opportunity to take what was really good from that, bring those back into who I was, and then leave some of the things that don't serve me anymore in this quote unquote, like, you know, normal world. And so when I did that, I started shedding some of the things that weren't as healthy for me to have relationships with myself and with other people. Some of the things that were holding me back and limiting me from dreaming and having an idea that life could be very different. And I allowed those things to go back to by the wayside and then incorporate new pieces to myself. So I started to do this and I realized, wow, like I'm feeling better. Like I actually am speaking differently. I see the world differently. And I was like, holy crap, all those guys, all my brothers that I worked with are stuck where I was too. I guarantee you, most of them are. And I know that because I remember a lot of the conversations we had overseas. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to do something. And so at this point, my girlfriend at the time, who's now my beautiful wife, she was like, well, use your background, create a podcast, men will respect you enough to give you 5 minutes and go ahead and deliver something that may be able to change their lives and change their perspective. And I said, yeah. All right, challenge accepted. So that was my goal. So I said, I need to pass along the tools that I'm gaining and stop just keeping those for myself. I need to give those to other men. And I'm not recreating the wheel. I'm just packaging some of the amazing tools that other people have created from the self-development space and people before me have created. I'm just packaging a lot of that that I've read and feel that is very applicable and I've used in my life, and then trying to give that to men through my background. That's all it is. And hopefully it changes them for the better. Even if it's one little thing, it creates a better relationship for them or a better relationship in them or a better connection with their kids, like, or just a better view of how they see the world. If any of that happens, I'm a happy camper. That's all I care about, because I want men to be better so that we can raise the societal construct of what we currently have and allow it to thrive and evolve as a unified group instead of a fractured group.
This is such a wonderful purpose, and I think people need it.
Yeah, I do too. And it's I wake up every day wanting to do it. And that's when I knew I want to say it's my purpose in life. And I want to believe that. And I have my own philosophies around those things, passion and purpose. But at this point in my life, I've been doing it for about 6 years, and I feel pulled to it every single day to want to deliver for men. And in that starts to fit my definition of a purpose in life. So yeah, I really love it, and I continue to do it and show up every day for it, because if I'm not going to do it, who's going to do it? I can't ask somebody else to do something I'm not willing to do myself. So I have to put myself out there.
Love that. Johnny, tell us about your new book.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I'm very excited. It's here it is right here. It's Design the Man Within. This is coming out May 16th. It's amazing. I'm really humbled to bring this to the world. And I like same thing as my podcast. I hope when guys read it, it just changes one aspect of their lives or helps them have that better relationship with themselves. And I'm happy. And it's really designed because, as I talked about earlier in the show, I didn't want to leave the everyday man behind. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this is about, like, it goes over the things that I know they're struggling with, because I struggled with them too. It talks about what that looked like in my life. And then it talks about and challenges the conversations that they're internally having and the criticisms they're internally having. And then it gives them tools to recalibrate and reframe that conversation so we can turn that into a positive thing for us and grow from it. And so that's really what it's about. There's 19 chapters. They're not super long. I mean, the book's a good 200 plus pages, 65,000 words. I was very intentional about that. But I kept the chapters really palatable, so, or and really bite-sized, so people can read one and do the work at the end of the chapter and then like have that be their thing for the day that helped them grow. Right. And it wouldn't take a long time to read that chapter. So I did that intentionally so people could have that really bite-sized growth every single day. And they didn't feel like obligated to read like, you know, 40 pages of one chapter if they're not big readers. Right. And I just wanted the everyday man to have that, be able to carve out 15, 20 minutes of their day, read something, do a little bit of work behind it, and then get to their lives again.
That's going to be very, very helpful. I believe that. And when the book comes out on 16th of May, where and how can we buy it?
Yeah, I appreciate that as well. So everybody can head over to designthemanwithin.com and we'll have a button on there. Y'all can buy it from Amazon, but you can also go buy it directly from Amazon if you want, or Barnes and Nobles or Walmart or Target on all their online shops. We are up there. So you can get it there, and Design the Man Within is just an easy way to go locate it and just click the button.
Before I let you go, I would like to ask you what pieces of advice that you would like to give to our corporate people out there, like corporate men.
Oh, man. Well, to corporate men, I want to tell you guys, first, you need to be a good leader. There's a lot of men in management positions and leadership positions, and they suck at it. And you, just because you're a man doesn't mean you're inherently good at being a leader. Do some work on being a leader, learn to eat last, and learn how to lead from the front. Those are two of the things I did in the military that were taught to me in special operations. And I talk about this in my book. There's a chapter on leadership, but if men are going to continue to be in that role, we need to be positive influence of leaders. And that means that you need to learn two very integral or important, pieces, which is lead from the front and leaders eat last, because your people are what make you successful, not the leader, right? And so that is one thing. The other thing I would tell guys is start taking ownership. And this goes for your personal life, but absolutely in the office, because I see this way too often where leaders and managers don't want to take acceptance of the issues or the flaws or the faults or the dumb decisions they make. Take ownership, be willing to apologize for that, be willing to incorporate your team's ideas, get collaboration, and be somebody who can own those things that maybe aren't always the best decisions. Hey, great. You made a decision. It didn't work out. Own that. Don't try to project and make other people feel like crap. Own your stuff. And if that means it's a good thing, own your good things too. Own both of them, but start taking ownership. I see too many managers. I see too many men sidestepping this. And it's like, you're not being a good example. No wonder people don't want to work with you or for you, right? So take ownership. And the last thing is start to work on your communication, because most of y'all communicate like crap. Okay. And that means be open and be honest and also be empathetic. Understand people and understand that they all have different ways of being connected with, and that your understanding of emotional intelligence is going to help you to communicate with them better. Everybody is trying to do the best they can and succeed in life. And if you're in a job, you're in a W-2 job, that connection is important. They're spending 8 hours a day with you. You don't want to make it miserable on them, and you don't want it to be miserable on you. So start having some empathy and start learning to communicate better so that you guys can have a collaborative and healthy relationship at work, and you guys can be more goal-oriented and mission-driven. So that way you are collectively going to be succeeding as opposed to individually, but communicate better. People are going to enjoy that more, and so will you. So those are the three tools. Be a better leader, own your stuff, and communicate better.
Fabulous. And this is the art of masculinity. When you develop that, you become a leader, obviously.
Yeah, you become a good leader. You become somebody that people want to follow. You don't want to force people to follow you.
Absolutely. What is the best way to contact you, Johnny?
So I'm on LinkedIn, Johnny L. Sasser on LinkedIn. So if people want to go there, especially my corporate people, my W-2s, I know y'all love it over there. If you want to go to IG at johnny.lsasser, so it's J-O-H-N-N-Y, and then L. Sasser is E-L-S-A-S-S-E-R. And then if you just head to my website, you can see everything that's going on. You can sign up for my email list, and that's just johnnylsasser.com. So from there, you can reach out to me, or you can get involved in anything I got going on and see everything that we're growing into.
Perfect. And I'm going to include your information, the website and the book information, the podcast information in the show notes section so that people can find you there and connect with you. Thank you very much for your time today. I loved it. And this was the first time we discussed this topic on the Corporate Life Podcast show.
Thank you, Hina.
All the best for your book, Johnny.
Thank you.
Remember, your exploration of masculinity is an ongoing journey. And each step that you take in this direction brings you closer to understanding yourself and be a better leader. If you enjoyed this interview, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share this episode with others who are seeking a deeper understanding of what it means to be a man. Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what's going to be your next step in the quest of embracing your authenticity and living your own unique version of masculinity. That's it for this week. I'll see you next week. Love you guys and girls. Stay happy and safe. Thank you for tuning in. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and go to my website, authorhina.com, for life and career changing tools and resources. Be sure to download and read my book, Secrets of the Six-Figure Employee with Zero Stress. It's available on Amazon.